Well, good morning, church. We're so glad that you're here with us as we continue on in part two of this special series we've been titled These Three. And of course, it's based out of that scripture from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, that tells us, so now faith, hope, and love abide. But the greatest of these is love. Now, if you're here with us last week, you would know that we heard a phenomenal message from Pastor John kicking off this series about love. And today our focus word is faith. And I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where by faith you were hoping for something to get better and it didn't. I wonder if you've ever been praying, pleading, hoping, wishing for a while for something to get better and it didn't. In fact, it actually seemed to get worse. About 2 months ago, we were in the midst of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I don't know how you handle fasting. Personally, I don't think I handle it all too well because I've come to discover that I have this tendency to get just a little bit hangry all the times, not just sometimes. And I remember there's one day where I was just hungry. I was stressed out, sensitive to people around me. And I came home, sat on my couch, and I said, God, I need you to make it better. Amen. And as soon as I said amen, I opened up my eyes to see something move across the room. And I'm thinking, great, it's a roach. But as I approached it, I realized it wasn't a roach. No, there in my spotlessly clean house was a mouse. Oh, is right, church. I panicked inside, because I live alone. I'm not dealing with a mouse in my house all by myself. So I thought, what am I gonna do? Clearly, I need a man. So I had one. I picked up the phone and I said, hey, I need help. Okay, I have a mouse in my actual house. And do you know what this man said to me? He said, Abby, open the door. And I'm thinking, do you think my legs are working at such a time as this? I can't move, I told him. And he said, set out a trap. I said, I don't even have a trap. And he said, well, Abby, go buy one. What am I supposed to do now? Am I supposed to leave Hamilton the mouse in the house all by myself while I go shopping? No, thank you. Now, most days, this man is the most patient person that I know. But on this day, I think he might have needed a nap or something. So I said, I'm gonna hang up on you. I'll call somebody new. So then I thought, I know what I'll do. Ricky, the drummer on our worship team, his family lives like 2 minutes from me. I'll call him, he'll know what to do. So I pick up the phone, I say, hey, Ricky, it's Abby. Terrible problem, I have a mouse in my house. Ricky goes, oh, Abby, I'll be right there. And I said, wait, Ricky, don't come. I don't even have a trap. And this other guy told me it was pretty important, you just be on standby, okay? Ricky kind of seemed confused, but goes, okay, and then I hung up on Ricky. And so then I call my mom. That's right, all these men, and I still find a way to call my mom as a grown adult woman. Nobody gets anything done like a mom can. I said, hey, mom, I have a terrible problem. There's a mouse in my house. I had a bad day. She goes, I'll be right over. So while my mom's coming, I'm sitting there panicking in my distress when I start to have this thought. You know, this could all make fantastic sermon content one day. So I pull out my phone and I start making a video telling the camera about all the things happening. And that was when I realized that apparently I have a gift. Because every time I start to talk, this little mouse comes out from the oven and just stares at me. And you can't make this up. Every time I stop talking, he just goes back in hiding under the oven. Church, I'm practically the modern day Snow White. And so my mom walks through the door and I say, Mom, I think we can catch this thing all by ourselves. She said, how? I said, sit down. I set up the trap and then I start telling her all about my day. And sure enough, this little mouse comes and walks right into my trap. I call Ricky, I say, Ricky, come over, we got him. Ricky comes, he takes little Hamilton the mouse out of my house. Can somebody say hallelujah, God is alive, amen? Amen. Now I'm not gonna lie, I saw a lot more women cheering with me in that one. So everybody goes home, and the next day I get a text on my phone from my mom. And do you know what this woman of God messaged me? She said, Abby, do you recognize it was God's kindness to send you a mouse? And I said, no, not really, Mom, I don't think so. I don't think God's throwing rodents over here for our good. And my mom said, think about it. You were having a terrible day, And you had not one, but three different people you could call who were there for you. See, a mouse wasn't how I was expecting God to answer my prayer, but it's exactly what he did. And God is always moving. It could just be in a way you're not expecting him to move, but he's moving. And you see, I love that we're in this series talking all about faith, hope, and love, because these are words that we think we know so well. I mean, everybody loves love. We all want hope. We put faith on decor like coffee mugs. At first glance, this word seems like all things fluff and fun. These are feel-good words, especially faith. But if we're honest, so often, that's not what it feels like to walk by faith. No, see, because faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things yet seen, as Hebrews 11:1 says. Meaning that faith is being desperate on God to do the one miracle that only he can do. Faith is showing up time and time again despite not knowing what the outcome will be. And faith is this long, seemingly drawn out, moments filled trying to get you to doubt type of waiting. This is what faith feels like. And so as we're in this series talking about these three words, I think we need to turn our eyes to the scripture to see these three men who had to walk by faith. So if you have a Bible today, go ahead and open up with me to Daniel chapter 13. Daniel chapter 3, not 13. That's where we're gonna be in the Word of God together today. And let me go ahead and give you some context while you're turning there. See, here when we open up God's Word, we see that these are isolating times to claim to follow God, because our text takes place in the present days of Babylon. And we think our society is bad. Babylon goes down in history as being one of the most pagan nations to ever exist. They have this polytheism belief that there are multiple gods rather than just the one true God. And in 605 BC, their king Nebuchadnezzar has come and has overthrown Jerusalem. And he's taken captive the Jewish people, including these three men by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men are thrown into a new culture, given new names, told to serve new gods. And one day the king comes and he sets up this 90-foot meaningless golden statue. And he commands for everyone to bow down and worship to it or else face severe consequences. But not wanting to forsake the faith of the one true God they know, the men don't bow. And this is where we pick up in the Word of God today. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." So I don't know if you caught that, but the text said, "Even if he does not, we want you to know that we'd rather jump into the flames than forsake our faith." But New Hope, what kind of faith is that? Because I don't know about you, but walking by faith and walking through a fire doesn't seem to match. But have you ever noticed that faith and our feelings don't tend to match? I mean, if God's so good, then why does he allow bad things to happen? If I'm really walking in the way that I should be walking, then why am I facing so much resistance right now? We already mentioned, but earlier today we mentioned it, but we're gonna do it again. Later in our services, we're gonna be celebrating even greater baptisms than what we saw last service. We have 22. And I still remember over 10 years ago, the day when I first got baptized right here at New Hope. And while we were out on the patio celebrating what people were calling was my best decision ever, I was shocked to find the days that followed were some of the hardest times of my entire life. I lost someone close to me. The friend group I had completely turned their back on me. I felt as though I had taken this leap in my faith journey and God was just flipping my world upside down. I couldn't grasp how in that moment what God was actually doing was flipping my world right side up, making me a better version of myself for him. And see, you could be walking by faith right now, and you could be facing resistance at the same time. And I want you to know that just because you're following Jesus does not mean you're gonna be exempt from hardship. Right here in our text, we see before this encounter in Daniel 3, that in Daniel chapter 2, these same three men had just been promoted by the king. So how do we go from being beloved one moment to being subject to burn the next, even with the faith in a God who saves? Couldn't God have just saved them from the threat of the fire? And I wonder if you're here today asking the same question. God, where were you? God, don't you care about me? How would you allow this to happen? How would you allow this to happen to them? God, couldn't you have saved or stopped it? See, I believe Beth Moore said it best when she said, sometimes God delivers us from a fire. Sometimes God delivers us through a fire. And sometimes God delivers us by the fire straight into his arms. See, sometimes walking by faith means we're gonna have to face the fire. And make no mistake, God is able to save and rescue us from the fires and hardship of life. God is even able to walk us through a fire to become better. But God is also known for using hardships to lead us straight into his presence. We don't know what God's gonna do. We don't see the bigger picture. We're just called to walk by faith, even if it means facing some pain. That's why today, I wanna talk to us about even if faith. Because even if faith is a process God takes us on to produce something greater within us. And it's a faith that chooses to remain no matter what. And I believe that there are three things this type of faith accomplishes within us. So if you're taking notes today, go ahead and write this first thing down. See, even if faith redirects us, it redirects us. This verse we just read was so good, I want us to read it again. It said, the men replied, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. See, it's one thing to know that God can. It's another thing to know that God will. But it's a whole other thing to say, hey, I'm gonna choose to worship no matter what. And for these three men, that is exactly what they're choosing to do. Because they understand this important concept of even if faith, and it's this. There's a big difference between your preference and God's promise. There's a big difference between our preferences and God's promises. See, the men came and they said, we know that God is able to save us. We know that God will save us. But even if he does not, we want you to know we're gonna jump into those flames and forsake our faith. Now, I'm sure if we were living in the days of Babylon, and I asked these three men, hey, what is your go-to, your number one option? I bet you it's not option three, going through the fire. But they understand that just because that's their preference does not mean it's God's promise. Did God really promise you that? Or are you struggling with disappointment right now because it's something you were expecting God to do? Be careful what you grasp onto believing God promised you. Pastor Jared Ellis, he asks this challenging question. He says, is your faith rooted in the word or is it rooted in things going your way? Ouch. Because I don't know about you, but when I open up my Bible, it doesn't tell me I'm gonna avoid the fire of life. In fact, it actually says the opposite in John 16, 33, when it says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So when things don't go your way, do you still show up to worship with everything you have? When people disappoint you, do you still seek ways in which you can serve them through love? See, so often we want to say that we believe in God, And yet we can behave as if he doesn't exist. We can claim that God is silent when really God is not silent. He just didn't give you the immediate yes you had in mind. See, faith has never been a demand, but rather a dependency. Faith has never been a demand, but a dependency. Because faith on demand will always create discontentment. But a faith that's dependent will always see God come through, even if it's a way you're not expecting him to do. But I know this can be so hard, right? Because if you're anything like me, we want to see it, to believe it, catch a glimpse in order to get prepared for it. But knowing what's ahead is not faith. Faith is a dependency. And one of the greatest honors I believe we have here at our church is to be able to learn from our senior pastor, Adam Bishop, week after week. And while we as a church get to learn more of his heart throughout the services, our staff team gets the honor of learning him even more throughout the week. And I remember there was this one time when we had an all-staff meeting. And Pastor Adam threw out these words that I really had to wrestle with. He said, if God never blessed me again, he'd still be worthy of my worship. And church, can I tell you? At first I said, amen, me too, Pastor Adam. But then I thought, you know what? I actually really do want God to keep on blessing me. But I've come to this realization that if our God so worthy never blessed me, someone so undeserving such again, he'd still be more than worthy of my worship. Even if I don't get what I want. Even if in the end the results are not as I hoped. He would still be more than worthy of my worship. See, this whole series is based out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is commonly known as the love chapter in God's word. And in it, it says, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Just last Sunday, our worship pastor taught us so passionately how love is messy. And love that walks through the mess of the fire through faith is nothing if we don't have love. Faith has always been a love thing. Because you know what love does? It risks vulnerability for the beloved. It's exactly what Jesus did for us when he chose to go to the cross to be murdered, so publicly and so vulnerably for our shame. See, he chose you and the mess of the cross just in case you might choose him to. He moved in faith first. And even if faith redirects us to not just trust in God's power, but to trust in God's heart. Because when I consider this type of heart for me, I do not worry. Because I trust the Holy Spirit too much to believe that he's gonna waste my weight. I trust the Holy Spirit too much to believe that he's gonna waste one act of my faith or one ounce of my hope. It's not that we have faith in the next step, we don't. It's that we have faith in his heart. And see, church, I know that for some of you, this is so difficult to manage right now. Because you're facing some really challenging circumstances. While I was praying for you in my message prep, I felt it. And from the bottom of my heart, I wish so badly I could tell you exactly how it is that God's gonna move for you. Truly, some of you, I wish that I could put a GPS on your future spouse. I really do. You know how a FedEx package gives you updates on its arrival? For some of you, I wish I could do the same thing. I wish I could sit with you and say, hey, guess what? I know there seems to be no prospects right now, but in 2.5 months, they're gonna land that job in North Carolina and they're gonna start looking for a church. And guess what? It's gonna land them right here at New Hope to find you. Amen? Amen. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you when it is that the prodigal's gonna come through. I wish I could tell you exactly how it is that God is gonna be present in the midst of your pain, but I can't. I wish I could tell you how it is that you're gonna have a baby sitting in the midst of your infertility right now, but I can't. But what I can do is redirect you to the promises God has for you. promises. Say, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Promises that say, no good thing shall he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Promises that say, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It's not that we have faith in the next step, we have faith in his heart. And if I said it once before, I'll say it again. God is not most glorified in prayers being answered exactly how we want. Rather, God is glorified through the display of his presence even when things don't go as we hoped. God's not glorified in us getting everything we want, but he is glorified through our pain. And he's glorified through the display of his presence even when we don't go and see things according to our plan. So when God doesn't seem to be moving, what's your next move? Redirect your attention to the God that is for you. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their next move is to walk through fire. But they have this even if faith that does another thing when applied, and it's this. Even if faith refines us. See, the text said that in his anger, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than normal. Even the soldiers guarding the doors get killed by the flames as soon as they open them to throw the men in. And as the text continues, we see that the word of God says, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and he asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? But look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire unbound and unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. See, I love this. Not because God rescued them through the fire, but because God refined them through a process they would have never chosen for themselves. And I wonder if there's anybody in the house of God today who would give God glory that he took you through a process you would have never chosen for yourself, but in the end you came better. I just wonder if there's anybody who would thank God you didn't get offered the first position you applied for because you didn't know what was coming. I wonder if there's anyone that would praise God the relationship fell apart because you didn't know what better looked like. I wonder if there's anyone thankful for the diagnosis because it taught you to get on your knees and seek a new level of God's heart. See, so often when God does something that I would have never chosen for myself, the end result is a thank you. Because I'm out here ready to settle for good when God goes, hold up, I have best. I'm out here thinking a great testimony sounds like how I'm gonna avoid the fire, but God goes, you think that's a testimony? Sit back and watch this. God is glorified through the display of his presence even when things don't go as we hoped. And see, God will sometimes take you through a fire, but it's not to bind you, but to refine you. In our scriptures, we saw that these 3 men faced multiple oppositions. They were in an overheated furnace. They were tied up. Did you literally take note that they are walking through an actual fire? But notice in the scripture, it said, King Nebuchadnezzar said, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Oh, but wait, there's even more. It also said the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and not even the smell of smoke was on them. So wait, hold up. You mean to tell me that these men made it out of an overheated furnace unharmed? You mean to tell me the only thing that burned were the ropes that held them down? And you mean to tell me there's a 4th man in the fire and he sounds a whole lot like Emmanuel, God with us? And you mean to tell me these men not only made it out alive, but not even the smell of smoke was upon them? See, when you live by even if faith, you can walk through a fire and never smell like smoke. people would never believe what you've walked through. People would never believe the words that were spoken over you. People would stand in awe how it is that God healed you. Because trials have a way of producing a genuine faith within us, a faith that's more precious than gold when refined by the fire. And if you're clapping for that, guess what? It's scripture, 1 Peter. The question becomes, will you allow this battle to define you or refine you? God can use it to refine you. He did it for these three men, and he can do it for you. We know how this chapter is going to end. It's going to end in a miracle that results in praise to God through the even if faith of these men. But there's one more thing this type of faith produces, and it's my favorite. See, even if faith reminds us. In an age that tries to cave into culture, in a time when anxiety tries to lie, I think it's important to remember that God already told us in his word that we would face hardships that would require our faith. He already said it. And I could give you account after account, but the one I want to look at is from Isaiah 43. When it says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. See, notice the scriptures doesn't say if these things will happen, but rather when these things will happen. And the reason why this is so important is because broken places will try to label you. And Babylon was a broken place. We see in Daniel chapter 1 that we were seeing when we looked earlier in the text how they were given this new culture, these new names, and these new gods. Well, in Daniel chapter 1, we see exactly what Babylon was trying to do. Babylon was trying to remove their Hebrew name that reminded them of the one true God. But when you study the scriptures, you see what these men's names actually meant. See, Shadrach's name was Hananiah, meaning Yahweh is gracious. It's in God's name to gift you with a grace that's not based, but placed on you. God will be gracious to deliver you from this battle, whether it was a result of someone else or from your own doing. God says, don't forget. I long to be gracious to you. Meshach's name was Mishael, meaning who is like Yahweh? Even if the worst case scenario happens to you, who is it in the end with you? There is no one that compares to Yahweh. And I know you shouldn't have a favorite, but mine's Abednego, because his name was Azariah, meaning Yahweh has helped. And I love that helped is in the past tense. Because we don't worship for a blessing, but from a blessing. We don't worship for a reward, but from a reward. We don't worship for a victory, but from a victory. Because Jesus has already defeated the grave. So even if you don't know what God is doing, you can rest in what God has already done. Do you remember what God has already done for you? Do you remember that time he came through for you in the midnight hour? Do you remember when all you had was to offer your worst, he came in and loved you first? Do you remember? Remember that night when you were so exhausted, the only thing you had to pray was, God, help me, and then he did? You are standing in midst of answered prayers that you prayed long ago. Do you remember how God has healed you? How he's redeemed you, how he saved you, how him showing up was based on his word and not your worthiness. So even when we don't know what God is doing, we can rest in what God has already done. Because even if faith reminds you of the God who is in you, who's already spoken his word over you, and his word has the final say. If he said it, we can believe it. I can walk by faith, not because I know the future, but because I know his faithfulness. So if you're walking through a fire today, take heart. There's a fourth man who walks with you, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Would you stand up with me to your feet as we go to our God in prayer? Well, Jesus, we thank you that scripture tells us you are a very present Father in times of weakness. And so, Father God, you know exactly the present troubles that your children are walking through right now. And so, God, I pray for that person who's in the fire. I pray that you would be faithful to redirect them, God, to your promises that you've spoken to them already in your word. God, I pray that you would refine them and, God, do a greater glory through this pain that they couldn't even believe if told. And God, in the moments when we fail, remind us that you are the God that stands right there in the fire with us. And if you said it, we can believe it because you are our faithful Father. So Father God, we give you our worship. It's in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus we all said together, amen. Amen.